hope your Thanksgiving table wasn't too frightening. Everybody seems to, they have any family issues, they come out at Thanksgiving. And I think they are all about fear, you know. If Aunt Mabel makes us depressed or angry, what's behind that really is fear. Fear of a country ruled by cruelty and ignorance, by, you know, Aunt Mabel at her worst. So if you stuck it out, well done. And if you needed to excuse yourself, well done too. The illustration, if you saw it on the website for today's service, was a turtle just poking out of the shell. I was thinking how good it is to have a safe place to retreat to when things get too scary. You watch a turtle for a while, you know, they'll draw that head and those feet in, and they'll keep an ear and eye ready so they can see when things are okay, and they'll slowly reemerge. That's a good plan. This is part of a series of sermons, services for 10 services over the course of about 12 weeks, on our benediction, otherwise known as How to Fight Fascism. If you've heard my sermon since the election and you're wondering if all we're going to do is talk to people, don't worry. I realize some of you may be wondering, but aren't we going to punch some Nazis? What courage is involved in just talking when our friends and neighbors are being rounded up and deported, denied crucial medical care, fired from their jobs? Don't we need more than talk? Yes, we may. We probably will. More on that next week and in the weeks to come, though I might not advocate actually punching anyone. And talking really is how we will get to the country we need, the USA we deserve. You can maybe pummel people into voting a certain way one time, but, you know, our country was founded not on might makes right, but on right makes might. And then also, eventually, for things to shift long term, then our true and lasting power has to be in truth, in reaching it together. That's democracy. You also might wonder, as I've been sharing some teachings from this book, and you may know others like it. This one's by David McRaney, How Minds Change. Recommend. The Surprising Science of Belief, Opinion, and Persuasion. Not just clickbait, I did find it surprising and very thought-provoking. So you may listen to what I'm sharing of that and think, isn't this just a clever manipulation that, you know, you could turn people. If just listening to people and giving them the space to reach their own conclusions and asking them a couple questions from your own experience, if that is not enough to change them their minds to what you believe, couldn't this go circulating among people who want to turn us all into xenophobic fascist zealots? No, it won't work. And I'll explain why over the course of this sermon. But this bit about courage, talking to people. You know, it takes courage. It takes courage for sure to talk to some people, people who disagree with us sharply, Aunt Mabel. It takes courage to go into a situation where, as McRaney reminds us, we are facing the fact that we really can't change anyone's mind. People can only change their own minds. We change our own, and other people change their own, or don't. And patiently talking with people as they slowly, gradually, possibly change, that takes guts. You know what's even scarier, though? Being willing to change our own minds. Okay, whoa, 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 where is Amy going? You are never going to convince me, you may be thinking, I hope you're thinking, that splitting up families is good, that trans people deserve anything but total acceptance, support, medical care, and love? No. Right. Hold fast to what is good, everyone. That's next week's sermon. But here's the thing. One of the things that folks discover, the people who McRaney interviewed discovered, when they have real conversations, whether that's called deep canvassing or motivational interviewing or my favorite, street epistemology, don't see those two words together that often. What you discover is that people's values are often, at bottom, the same. Even people who radically disagree. Not always. But far, far more often than, say, the divided election results suggest year after year. And that's why McRaney promotes these approaches. And I will get back to them, but first, what underlies them all is a joint search for the truth, a conversation carried out in hopes of getting closer to the truth, which, as Weston says, is always if he were here in Silicon Valley in 2024, he might call it an iterative process, right? We approach more closely to the truth, and then we realize, oh, I got that wrong, and we decide again, and we change a lot. We may not even know how much we change over our lives, because one of the things that this study of persuasion and change reveals is that people don't even recognize how much we've changed. Even in those 15-minute conversations at people's doorways, like the Leadership Lab does that he writes about, people can change, it may be 180 degrees, certainly say 90 degrees, and they don't realize that they have changed their beliefs very dramatically from the beginning of the conversation. We have this, handy thing in our minds called consistency bias, and it helps us believe that we're more consistent than we are. But that business of seeking the truth together, not for A to convince B that A is right or vice versa, but to say, let's try to approach the truth together. Let's try to get closer to it together. That takes courage on everybody's part. Because we don't know where the conversation will take us. We don't know where the truth lies yet. That's what we're saying, right? And maybe we'll have to give up some of our beliefs, beliefs that we cherish, beliefs that connect us to people whom we love. Our friends, our family, our communities. We may have to say no, to use the words of the story today. We may have to say no to beliefs that used to make sense to us and have stopped making sense after we examine them some more. And that's hard. It's okay. We can do hard things. And as Unitarian Universalists, we are committed to seeking the truth and living by what we discover. As Weston reminds us, doubt is the attendant of truth. It's a partner of truth. We need it. Just as if we're blind, we might need a cane. It helps us get through our lives. It helps us get to the truth. And even better, and even braver, fellow turtles. Remember how I said, you heard this 2 weeks ago if you were here, I said facts aren't usually the key. There are exceptions, but generally speaking, we don't win each other over with new facts. Well, what these methods all do, at bottom, is they don't focus on the topics of conflict. They don't focus on the subject matter we have in our heads about, oh, I, this is what I believe about, you know, who's a good president or what shape is this planet or, you know, what I should do with my investment money or whatever decisions we make. They don't focus on topics, they focus on techniques. So that when you're having one of these conversations with somebody with whom you might sharply disagree, you're not focusing on their conclusions. Not on what they think, but their techniques, how they got there. This is really, really powerful. Because we don't do it all that much. And we don't do it together. And we especially don't do it in times of conflict. And if we really want to have a strong democracy that resists fascism and all other threats to it, the better we think, the better our chances. What's scary and promising about focusing on techniques instead of topics is that when we ask someone sincerely about their technique, when we find out what they think and we say, not in a gotcha kind of way, in an actual curious way that they trust is actual and curious because we've built some rapport, we ask them, what made you reach that position? How'd you get there? This encourages them to share their story, their logic that they might never have even looked at before, because we're all walking around with all sorts of opinions, and we often don't know. Why do I think that? And together you can dig down to some really interesting stuff. And while deep canvassing or motivational interviewing and so on tend to be kind of one way, you know, this is, I'm going to do the questioning and the listening, this is your time to talk. There may be also a time for me to share a little bit, oh, well, this is how I got to my position. Not to argue, just to say, oh, yeah, I also have a story. And you know, when you share yours, it's scary because we may realize that our reasons, they're not what we thought they are. They're not as solid as we thought they were. And the other thing, and this is what's really promising about these conversations. Well, one thing that's promising is we may discover better reasons. You keep digging. You say, oh, is that my real reason? Oh, try it. It gets really deep, it goes to really deep places. But it also leads to values. Why do I think that? Well, I really care about the future of my family. I want my kids to be able to find jobs in this country and preferably right around here where I live. And then you can really get into it. Well, everybody agrees on that, right? We get, sometimes remarkably quickly, to shared values. Oh, we're having this really rough conflict because you feel like I'm trying to take your kids' future living away. And when we start talking about values, no, I share those values. Not only do I think that's a good value for you to have, to care about your kid's future. I care about your kid's future. What about that? Even though clearly we have different ideas in our heads of how to get there. But those are future conversations. I'm not saying everybody's going to end up in the same place politically. But we can talk and we can understand better how we get from our values to our conclusions. When we start to say, how did I get there? Oh, someone else who has the same values got to a different conclusion. That's interesting. Tell me about your process. Oh. This is why these processes are not very good at turning people into xenophobic fascist zealots. Because their values very, very seldom allow it. And because, here's a statement of faith on my part, xenophobia and fascism are never based in truth. If you come to the truth, that's not where you're going to end up. You might not think, just as your neighbor thinks about immigration policy or whatever. but it won't be driven by hatred. It won't be driven by fear. That would be progress, wouldn't it? Should it surprise us that what requires courage is also what promises the greatest reward? It's so often the case. So let us be of good courage and reap the rewards together.